This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Today I'll be speaking on the topic, in spirit and in truth. What does this mean? I notice that a lot of believers do not understand what Jesus was saying when he said that to the Samaritan woman. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth has nothing to do with thronging religious locations, becoming part of a crowd, stroking the ego of anyone. It basically means that the day is coming, and that day has come. We are living in that day where every believer, every born again Christian would have access to divine instructions directly and by themselves from God Himself. You notice that in the Old Testament, a whole nation of Israel would need guardians, and there would be nobody to guide them. They would have nobody to tell them this is the way to go. At other times, they would have only one person, and sometimes that person is so flawed that they basically will be flying blind. For example, Samson was a judge of Israel. How many times did you think that Samson sat with Israel to show them God, to teach them about God, or to have a council with them in Israel? How many times did you think Gideon did that? What about Hosea? How many times did Hosea call a sovereign conference? How many times did you imagine Deborah? The Bible said Deborah called a conference and nobody listened. Why? Because these are men. In their own time, they stood out, but they couldn't lead the whole nation. From time immemorial, we notice through scripture that because man was created to have an independent way of thinking, God has always been deliberate in preserving our autonomy. God likes us to be individual, to be personal. God wants our faith not to be the faith of the herd, but the faith of a person. That is, that I may know God for myself, that you may know God for yourself. Even though I will know God for myself, and I will invite you to come into the same faith, I will tell you about Jesus so that you can become born again. After you become born again, it is not a Ponzi scheme in which you are now following me so that I will not be the one that will be giving you benefits. No. When you come into Christ, you get plugged directly into Him. This was what God was trying to teach us through Jesus in that particular chapter of the book of John. What it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. When the children of Israel returned from exile in the days of King Xerxes, the Bible said they were handed a list of names according to tribes of people that were taken out of Israel when they went away into exile. Even though those who originally went into exile had died, their children continued to bear their name. So they were calling them and inviting them back into Israel according to their register. The Bible says that some of them, they came back with the Jews But they did not allow them to settle with the Jews because they couldn't find their name in the register. So these guys were sent to Samaria. Nehemiah and Ezra were very particular about protecting the lineage, the genealogy of Israel, that they didn't want any mixed blood. They didn't want any foreigner. They didn't want anybody that is from Babylon or from Medes or Persia, anyone that had decided to just join the crowd. You know, in the days of Moses, they had a mixed multitude that were not part of the crowd, but that took advantage of the fact that the Israelites were going. They also left Egypt with Moses and co. And many of them perished in the wilderness because they were the ones that gave Moses the most problem. They couldn't trace their lineage. And let me say that again. When you see people on the street of your nations that didn't come from families with names, with pedigree, there is a way they behave. They are rabble-rousers. They are troublesome. They act because they do not have anyone, any antecedent, anyone whose name they were was worth bearing. So they act off the cuff. They fly off the handle. They become smooth guy. They become destroyers. They become thieves. They become touts. When you find out, even when you see their name in newspapers, you are not bothered. Why? Because they have no name. They have no name. But there are some people, when you see them counted among criminals, because of the pedigree of their name, you're going to be like, what? No, this person is not meant to be there. So that was how the Israel of those days decided that they wanted to preserve the names of those who are counted among them. They didn't want to have a mixed multitude the way Moses had it. So they separated the Jews from the non-Jews. And then some of them that were even Jews, whose name were not in the register. I remember the first time I came across a name in the book of Nehemiah and my heart shook. There was a man called Barzillai the Gileadite. Barzillai was a rich 80-year-old man who came to David's rescue when David was running from his son, Absalom. Barzillai gave David food, gave him beddings, gave him pots, gave him a lot of things, supplies. When David had conquered Absalom and was returning to the palace, he met this man again. The man came to congratulate the king. The king looked at him and the king said, Barzillai, come back with me to the palace. Come and sit as a nobleman. As a nobleman at my palace, sit at my right hand. Give me counsel. There is something else I can give you. You are a rich man, but I can give you a position of honor. Barzillai said to King David, sir, I'm 80 years plus. What else am I looking for at my age? Please, I will not go with you. I would rather go back to Gilead and continue my business. But I have a son. Can the boy follow you and sit at your right hand and be a nobleman? And David felt, oh, that was fair. So Barzillai chose one of his sons. And that boy went with David to David's palace. However, when that boy began to have children, he began to have only girls. He had four girls, no son. But he was a nobleman, a popular man, a rich man, a honorable man in Israel. When it was time for his daughters to get married, the men that wanted to marry his daughters, they decided that so that they can also be important people, that instead of his daughters to drop the name of Barzillai, so that his daughters would marry into their own family and take up their names. These men decided that they would rather take up their wives' names. For them, it was a status symbol. They wanted to have the name of Barzillai in their surname. They wanted to have children that would bear the name of Barzillai so that that name would give them advantages, because that name was the name of a nobleman in Israel. But the man biologically didn't have any son. And so it's the children, the men that married his children, all took up his surname. When it was time for them to go into exile, this man registered that he didn't have any son. So he registered his own name, and he registered the name of his daughters. When they were coming back from exile, lo and behold, these guys that married his daughters, they came back and they said, our name is Barzillai. Ladies and gentlemen, their names were not in the register, because that was not their original name. They have taken the name of another man's daughters. That was how they were thrown out of Israel. These people and some other people were the ones that were taken to Samaria. They became Samaritans. They were close to Israel, but they were not part of the covenant anymore. This was the same town where Jesus went when he met the woman by the well, this Samaritan town. When Jesus got there, the woman saw that Jesus was standing close to her at the well of Jacob. The woman knew Jesus was a Jew immediately, because there was a way the Jews carried themselves. They carried themselves with authority, with pride. The Samaritans were like second-class citizens. They were not Jews, but they were close to Jews, either by blood or by kinship ties in any way, but they were not Jews. So the Jews were like the whites, if we use today's parlance, and the Samaritans were what we will call South Americans, Puerto Ricans, and all those. All of them are American citizens in today's parlance, but it was as if the whites were the natural leaders, even though we know historically they were not. All of them were pilgrims. Anyway, this woman then started discussing with Jesus, bringing to bear their background, their shared inheritance, the well where they were drinking, the significance of it, the well Jacob built, and the fact that the Jews did not treat them as equals. Jesus told the woman that, see, now it may seem like the norm that people are going to Silo for Bar Mitzvah. Then they will go to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacle. Then they will also go to Jerusalem for the High Sabbath. They will go to the Temple for the Feast of the Living Waters. They had so many places designated for important events, for Passover services, for so many things they did. And the Samaritans were locked out of it. But Jesus said to her, the day is coming when you will not have to go to Shiloh. You will not have to go to a mountain. You will not have to go to a temple. All those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth, which means it will be a pure worship from the heart. It will not be according to the sticker on your car or according to your I was there or according to your I went there. It will be according to the glory of God that has been deposited in you, which is the Holy Spirit. Several years later, as we come into Christianity and we began to walk with the Lord, we begin to notice it again among Christians who are born again. Religious folks couldn't let go of the idea of a mountain, a valley, or a place. I was there as taking over the Christian mindset. Somebody is coming to one stadium, members of this denomination, and everybody will go there. Another person is coming to that place, everybody will go there. Another man of God is ministering somewhere, everybody will flock there. Members of the same family, members of different denominations and churches, all of them will move from one location to the other. Religious tourism. When you ask them, why do you do this? They will say, we came to pray. We came to seek the face of the Lord. But the Lord has told us that his face is no longer to be sought that way. That if you are going to worship him in spirit and in truth, you will do it from where you are. Angels are descending upon you. Angels are descending and ascending upon you. Not upon a mountain, not upon a valley, not upon a location. In order to ensure that people keep coming to these places, a lot of spiritual leaders would give you stories. Come and see the footprint of an angel on this mountain. Oh, there is a burial site of one great man of God on that mountain. Oh, there is a particular water that heals people on this valley. Oh, there is a man of God with great anointing in that grove. And Christians, still in our unbelief, would rather pursue the grace of God in the life of that man of God, or in the sight of that footprint of an angel on this mountain, or go to that valley in the name of serving God. We do not really know what it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth means from the moment you became born again, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you a local church. It could be online, like we have it, or it could be a church where you attend. The importance of the local church cannot be overemphasized. Either it is online or offline, the local church is where your iron sharpens iron. You come to hear the word of God and also to share the word of God. It is one of the reasons why we have a system in which, as people listen to us on Zoom, many are in different WhatsApp groups. If I say something you want to share or discuss or share an insight on, even as I speak now, you can be typing it, you can be sharing it, you can be talking about it. Why? Because in a local church, it is a melting pot of cultures, of ideas, of mindset, so that every one of us will become a better man, so that we will become a better Christian, so that we will beat out the Yoruba in me, and beat out the Igbo in you, and beat out the Hausa in you. All of us will now mix these ingredients together, and nobody will be Igbo, Hausa, or Yoruba again among us. All of us will be citizens of Zion. The peculiarities that come with our tribes will no longer matter. The peculiarities that come with our ethnicity, our color, our race will no longer matter. I've seen some churches that people will tag Yoruba church, where everybody that attends the church are from Yoruba tribe. I've seen churches that people will say, oh, that's an Igbo church. Everybody that attends is from the Southeast. I've seen churches where people say, oh, it's only Netherlands that attend the church because the pastors are from the North. I've seen churches where people attend because their pastor is from Kogi State and all of them are Kogis or all of them are from Igba and all of them attend the same church. And when I see what churches in Lagos, I just smile. They are still churches, but they are not walking in the fullness of the gospel. The true gospel says that Jesus Christ purchased men, women, all of us, out of every tribe, nation, race, and kindred. He brought us into a new reality, and then he made us citizens of his kingdom. Therefore, it doesn't matter what color, what race, it doesn't matter where we go, it doesn't matter where we are. We are bona fide. We are bona fide children of God. And as bona fide children of God, we now have access to insights of God, insights of the Spirit, instructions of the Holy Ghost. We have an understanding of the realities of God, and we walk in it. That local church then becomes the place where I fellowship with other believers. Here in this local church, we have what we call a corporate anointing. In this local church, the local church can be in somebody's house. Like I said, it could be online, it could be in somebody's house, it could be on the farm, it could be a church building. No matter where it is, a local church is for you and I. It could be online. It could for you and I to be able to come together, read scripture, share testimonies. If you have challenges among ourselves, we can throw it open and say, oh, I'm having this challenge. Or we can call one of the brothers or one of the sisters aside and say, hey, something like this is going on, right? And then you can get counsel, get wisdom, and sort things out horizontally. That is among members, and then vertically between members and their God. But that system does not include junketing faithlessly. This particular church is having a 7 days program. I leave my local church. I'm going there. They asked me why. I said, because they said there'll be miracles, signs, and wonders there. I want to go there, so I go. Then after that 7 days, another person is doing it 21 days on the mountain. And then I get in the car, I drive all the way there. And after the 21 days, another person is doing something inside a forest. Everybody says, ah, there's a God in the Kirish. There's a God in Baga. If you go to Baga, and then I go there. And then I leave. And in all these places, what am I doing? Practicing the same thing that Jesus Christ said will no longer be applicable in our days. Which means, even though now we have the Spirit, now we have the truth, some of us are just deliberate about being unlearned, deliberate about not embracing the gospel so that we can know God for ourselves. We just want to know God through somebody. We want somebody to say something so that all of us can shout amen. We believe so much that that person is the one. And a lot of people are given that mindset. In fact, I got so bad years back that I will see that a man of God will preach. He will then make an altar call. And then those who have prayer requests. Altar call means those who are not born again. They are coming to give their life to Christ. But these people, they have prayer requests. They have come into the congregation to pray. And then this man of God makes an altar call for sinners. He says, all those who don't believe in Jesus, come out now, let me pray with you. And then these people are born again. But they have prayer requests. They will go out pretending to be giving their life to Christ for the first time. But they are going out because they want to be close to the altar so that the man of God that just made the altar call can pray for them with those who just give their life to Christ. And they are Christians. They are trying to assume a blessing under a lie because they have no faith and because they were not taught better. It is one of the reasons why I'm teaching this, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God is in you. God is with you. You are full of the Holy Spirit. Be confident in this reality. Be confident in it. Do not again think you are less of who you are. Do not again think God has given other people more than he has given you. This mindset is a defeatist mindset that makes people junket from place to place all their lives without fulfillment. A Christian is by definition the fullness of Christ in this world. As Christ is in heaven, so is a Christian on this earth. As he is, so are we in this world. That is scripture. Did you see Jesus junketing from valley to mountain, from denomination to denomination? Today he is going for a deliverance service. Tomorrow he is going for a faith explosion. Next tomorrow he is going for holiness wonder. Another time he is going for supernatural jingoism. And this is the same Christian who Christ dwells in. He does not know. The book of Psalm 82 said, they know not, neither do they understand. He said, the foundation of the earth is set loose in their courses. He said, they are gods. I have said, ye are gods, but you will die like men. Because they do not know, because they do not understand. I'm bringing you to the understanding of who you are in Christ. You have the ability to worship God in spirit and in truth, to receive of him all of him, and to walk in the light of who he has called you to be. This is the standard of the born-again Christian. There is no other salvation apart from the one you have received. After salvation, you begin to walk in grace and in knowledge. There is no other. Some people are giving their life to Christ 50 times, 40 times, 30 times, thinking that this experience will be better than the last one, or one experience will be better than the previous one. They're confused in their element. This is not meant to be so. You are full of God now. You have to then jettison this heart of the flesh that keeps telling you are unworthy, you are useless, you are a sinner, God does not love you, God does not hear your prayer. Throw this mindset away. Embrace the fullness of the mindset of Christ today and begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. Begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to speak in the spirit. Begin to lay claim in affirmation to the things that the word of God has said about you. Begin to establish your faith in boldness. Be like that woman that Jesus spoke to, who, upon hearing the words of Jesus, ran to bring the whole village to Christ that they may be saved. When you think like this, you begin to have supernatural inspiration and you begin to walk in the knowledge of the fullness of Christ. You will find yourself able to sit in one place, able to think, able to gather strength, able to strategize, and you begin to count your gains from the moment you became independent of religion. Begin to count your grace as you are going to start moving from glory to glory. This is my admonition for us this morning. Father, I give you glory for your children. Thank you because they are inspired to worship you in spirit and in truth. They know the truth and they have been set free by the truth. Thank you, because they are not religious. No, they are in Christ. They are Christ. They are in the place called Christ. They are the fulfillment of the person of Christ. They have the embodiment of Christ, and in all things they are blessed. Thank you, Father, for your grace, truth, and glory in their life. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings.